The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider, Sports Talk 1050, WTKA online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb, Ira Weintraub on the other side of the county. We have gone out of our way to bring to you outstanding guests when it comes to accurate information on the coronavirus, the fight against the coronavirus, being safe in this time of the coronavirus, right? I mean, you know, there's so much information out there that is, you know, that is wrong, just flat out wrong, but it's hard to keep straight often. That's why it's important to have experts, people who have studied this, who do this for a living, who are so well-versed and so experienced and yet can also articulate the message in a way that should resonate with all. We make it a point to try to do that. And so we started that off with a great panel from UMich Medicine. We had Dr. Gay, Dr. Milani, and Dr. Daniel on. We've had Dr. John Ross on from down in Ohio, you know, the head of the Lucas County Board of Health, in addition to being an internist down there. I mean, we have run the Dr. Gamut here. Of course, Dr. Desmond, Chief Medical Officer of the University of Michigan over there at Michigan Medicine. So bringing you experts in the field of medicine has been our thing, in addition to also referencing, you know, national perspective from guys like Dr. Fauci and Dr. Gupta. Well, we can add another name to that mix, you know, one of those national voices that I just mentioned here locally. But Dr. Milani was on CNN. She was on, you know, she was on with Chris Cuomo. Yeah, I don't know what you call his the title of his show, Ira. I should know it because my wife watches it every night. She said, oh, it's time for Get After It. So that comes on. And lo and behold, Ira, we see Dr. Preeti Milani on the screen. And it's like that ought to speak to you. If it didn't already, you know, just, you know, hearing her expertise be shared with you over these airwaves, you know, that ought to cement it, you know, nationally relevant and renowned, and was on there talking about, you know, concerts and festivals this summer. Will they happen? And she said, no way. It was one of the things we asked her about the coming season. I mean, express optimism about, you know, that happening with certain precautions. So assuming testing is up to where it needs to be in the fall, then there can be a fall season, albeit probably without fans in the stands. But I just wanted to shout Dr. Milani out, Mr. Weintraub, for being on CNN, being one of the experts that they tapped to come on to shed light on the fight against the coronavirus.
It's pretty cool to see her on TV. It's cool to see the people that we talked to being used as national experts around there. And obviously she's also on the committee with the Big Ten Conference to start bringing sports back again. So as we say, we try to go out and find the best people to answer questions that you have. And she is one of the best.
Absolutely, she is. All right, let's go to the phones and talk to my man, Iris Guy, to our brother at WTKA. His name is Steve Clark. How you doing, Steve?
Well, Sam, it's nice to hear you talk about the brilliant experts with all the credentials they have tackling this disease on your program. So now it must be time for the fluff.
Hey, man, I've learned through this whole thing that, you know, people can only handle so much reality. You know, I'm one that I could watch. Well, CNN is on, you know, I think people know this about me. That's basically the programming during the weekdays, especially nowadays with no live sports. You know, TV is on CNN for much of the day for me. And it does not, you know, it does not derail my day. It doesn't at least it hasn't done anything to me emotionally. There are some people that just need, they need more of the distraction from what's going on. They need more of, you know, something that's light, something that's not so serious. So you call it fluff, Steve. I call it a, you know, a necessary and much needed service to give people something else to think about.
So, Sam, do you want the comedy portion or the serious portion of the segment to start?
Well, since I said we were going to be lifting people up, lifting the spirits, let's not go downhill. Let's start off with the serious and then work up to the comedy.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, Sam, since we last talked, I am more encouraged about football season commencing. And I don't know about the timetable and all of that, but when I learned that the SEC presidents are having a vote on Friday to allow athletes to come back on campus or not, I said, well, this is a good thing. Because one thing I think you and I can probably agree on right away, the SEC is going to allow football to play this fall. They just are. I mean, there's no stopping that. And since they're the first ones that are going to be voting on this, essentially, this whole thing on a few belief standards for me, one is that a lot of people play follow the leader. And I'm not saying the SEC is a leader, but they're going to be first. And they're going to bring the athletes back on campus. Pro sports are quickly trying to organize to get their seasons either resumed or get their season started or to get things back on track. And they're trying to do it very quickly. And I think when the presidents of the SEC vote in a couple of days, it will be an overwhelming yes. And that is probably going to lead to the other conferences to follow at least getting started. And that's what we want to hear. We want to hear things that are going to get started. The question I do have for the SEC is, because of my cynical nature towards the SEC, do they have the student athletes' best interest at heart, or are they just realizing what the lack of dollars means to their athletic programs and are acting in that way as well? And that's a question for debate. But I think if you are looking for signs that football season is going to happen, I think the SEC vote on Friday is going to be one of them.
Yeah, you know, all the conferences really at the point now where, you know, you're getting to that. I believe for the Big 12, it's May 31st was their deadline. So all these conferences getting together to really talk about where they are with the timeline for return. My speculation was, Steve, and I'm curious where you are on this. You know, I think that we will hear most of these conferences, you know, talk about the return somewhere between July 1st and July 15th. I think that will be where they land, and barring any, you know, any setbacks as far as the, you know, the trend line with the virus, you know, I think that that will likely be where we land when it comes to student athletes returning to the football buildings across the country.
Yeah, in fact, I think it could even be earlier. As I said about
really?
The SEC, they're going to vote, and it's about whether they can come back in some form on June 1st. The Big 12, Bob Boldvey, their commissioner there, said, you know, probably looking like having to return in mid-July just so they can start the season on time. But I think when you read in between those lines is that there might be a sooner entry for Big 12 athletes to show up. And again, I think the dominoes kind of fall from there. And, you know, a lot of work is being done to make sure that everybody could stay safe as possible. The other interesting thing is, you know, how things could potentially spin in terms of the big question that come up from a number of athletic directors and presidents talking about the idea that if we don't have people on campus, we can't have a football season. I'm curious if we're going to see some spin on that, especially, again, from the South and the reasoning why where that could possibly change. And let me just make something up. Excuse me. Let me make something up. that I haven't heard, but, you know, just to illustrate my idea. You've heard that, you know, we don't want to have people, you know, not have student games going on if there's athletes not on campus is a message they don't want to send. But what if they actually were to say, look, maybe the safest thing for our athletes is to be have them be the only ones on campus. They would be probably safe. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you don't have 40,000 people of regular students attending campus, that makes the environment even safer for our student athletes to be able to conduct business. Just an illustration. Mm. Hasn't come up.
No, but that's actually a point I hadn't thought about. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, Steve. I just, you know, it could be. I guess you could make that argument, but I'm sure that there would be some student athletes and some parents that would offer some pushback, because while it would just be the student athletes on campus, certainly you would have those student athletes around one another. And around one another on a pretty continuous basis, so you wouldn't be necessarily at risk of, you know, being exposed to the student body, you know, as a whole, but to one another, and you know, all of the points of contact that they might, you know, connect you to by going out and about, as opposed to being sheltered in place where you can have more limited contact, at least in theory. I think you would have some student athletes push back on that. And if it's not a safe scenario for students to come, then why is it safe for student athletes to come if you're going to be putting 100 guys, in the case of football, 100 plus guys, together? You're exposing us to a threat level, that the rest of the students aren't exposed to, and we really at the end of the day, we don't have a say in whether or not this is a good thing.
You know, absolutely agree with you, Sam. And the thing is that these are the arguments that we're hearing already, and I don't think these arguments diminish or we have concerned student athletes or their parents under any circumstance of coming back. I think you're going to be able to receive and hear about that type of backlash. And it's certainly understandable. But there are still things that they could do. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago whether, you know, they would give up, you know, some of their limitations about where they can go, some of the freedoms that they would be allowed to have. Would they all be sort of quarantined in an athletic center together? Can practices be segregated? Can you move weights out of the weight room and have them in, like, 10 different mini weight rooms? Because I've heard, you know, the idea thrown out there that only certain members can go into a weight room at a certain time. These members can go at a different time. And in between, they thoroughly clean everything off. One of the things you could do is move weight rooms to part of the weight rooms to part of the indoor practice facility or somewhere else. And you could, you know, instead of having six bench presses or six leg press machines, you have one in each room, and that could help. Things like that. But, I mean, these are things I'm just throwing off of the top of my head that I think other people are probably thinking about how they could execute things in a way to keep the student-athletes as safe as possible.
Absolutely. I do sense, though, and you tell me what your sense is, I feel like there's growing optimism about, you know, about the likelihood of a season. Steve, the likelihood of a season, not just likelihood of a season, likelihood of a season starting close to on time, if not on time. I feel like, at least that's the sentiment, the tone that I seem to be picking up. And I don't think that it's, you know, I don't think that it's a reckless thing or a pie in the sky thing. I think it's based on where we are, you know, how things are going with the virus and the expectation. It's worthy of note, and this is one of the things that Bob Bowlesby said in talking about what the considerations are, what has to happen for football to start close to on time. He mentioned, you know, a mid-July return at the latest, and then he said testing, Steve. Testing is such a huge, he said, quote, they have to have testing and assurances that systems are in place to deal with positive tests, treat people after a positive test, triage, hospital-level disinfectant in all of the activity spaces. He cited all those things as being kind of the prerequisites, if you will, for a return. But I feel like the experts out there believe that by the time we get a couple of months down the line, that we will be where we need to be testing-wise, to make a go at it.
So what you're looking at there, Sam, and I am more optimistic, as I said at the opening of the segment, of football season starting. What you're looking at is you're looking at a population base of at least 16,000 student-athletes just in football alone. Take about the roster size, multiply it by 130, you're looking at about 16,000 people. And 16,000 people being tested how many times per week? That's interesting. Right now, I mean, we could barely find a place to get tested to begin with. So they're going to have to work on that over the next couple of months. But one of the things I think is interesting, and universities are looking at this forward, and I think it's very interesting, is that some universities, I think Purdue is one of them, South Carolina is another, where they have a fall break. And they're talking about the idea of eliminating the 1 week of fall break. And you notice the time between Thanksgiving and exams is roughly a week or two. One of the ideas that these universities are having is, why send people home on Thanksgiving only to bring them all back for final exams? Let's get rid of the fall week and have exams 1 week early. And that Thanksgiving, send everybody home. Now, I did hear somebody on TV talk about, what says, well, could you have games if everybody is done for the semester on campus? It's like, it happens all the time. Happens all the time in football where, Michigan's playing Ohio State, the Saturday after Thanksgiving. Other universities are playing their week 13 on the schedule, week 12 of their game schedule on Thanksgiving weekend. And the students are all, away on Thanksgiving break. Happens all the time. Softball season still goes on at the University of Michigan like a month and a half after students have left campus. So it happens. That isn't some big mystery or something that some obstacle that has to be overturned. But, universities are thinking progressive, and they're thinking of ways to make things safe again for not only the student-athletes but the community at large. And their ideas seem sound, but there's a lot of questions that go into all of them.
All right, Steve, let's call this halftime, man, because I think you hear my dogs want to go out. I'm sorry. This is what happens when you do live radio from home, right? But we got to take a break and call this halftime. We'll come back on the other side here with Steve Clark for the Midweek Peak here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket.